Now, this is particularly important to me because this weekend we celebrated 250 years of this country, our heritage. But in this verse here, Paul goes back and celebrates the history of a relationship with God, and he's going back to Abraham. And it's important, not only important that we look at our history, but we extend our history back to Father Abraham. And that's what he's doing. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, by the way. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And he went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Now Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with internal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was even by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. But she believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, that there was no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for a country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. And that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has and will prepare a city for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. You've probably heard this phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, haven't you? If you have studied our history, it's kind of important. I wanted to take some time today, especially on the 250th year of the beginning of our country, to parse that a little bit. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, how do we define life? In the hospital, it has to do with brain waves and breathing and heartbeats or lack thereof. That kind of determines life or no life. The lack of all those means no life. But what are some of the components of life in its fullest intent? I think some of these are even alluded to in both the Psalm text and in the Hebrews text as well. Because as you know, Abraham was told to go to a faraway land and start over. Just like the early ones who started our country had to leave a faraway land and go to a country they knew very little about, almost nothing about, start again. They wanted to go where they could really experience life in its fullest. Isn't that what all of us would like to do? You see, life as God gave it to us includes these kinds of things for life to really be enjoyed in its fullest. One is the need for relationship. God knew this with Adam. In fact, that's why he gave Adam Eve. And God wanted a relationship with us, with humanity, from the very beginning. I didn't drag it up because I couldn't really find it quickly, but there was a study done many years ago about some kids that had no human interaction or almost no human interaction during the first young period of their life, and most of these kids did not survive beyond just a few years old. Otherwise, healthy kids, but there was something drastically missing in their life. I think we understand to some degree that in our own life, that if we don't have relationship, we're missing something. And God knew that. And all throughout Scripture, here is our Heavenly Father, who time and time and time again is wanting to have a more intimate relationship with His creation, and we end up messing it up. With the Israelites, just trust me. Well, they would for a season, and then they'd wander off on their own, and God would say, I'm here. And they ignored Him. They went their own way. But yet, because God is a God of such grace and such mercy, He called them back, and they repented, and they came back. And there again, time and time and time again, it seems to be human nature. We don't recognize what life in its fullest extent really means. The need for touch, as I just shared. Those who didn't have relationship, those who don't have touch. That need for love, that need for communication. Those are all parts of this thing we called life. You know how we get touch in the Church of Jesus Christ? It's fellowship. Fellowship with each other. Now, I realize sometimes I'm kind of one of those huggy kind of guys. And every now and then people are leaving the church and some want hugs, some don't want hugs, some want handshakes, some don't want anything. And every now and then you might misread someone and you reach out to give them a hug and they'll go, whoa. Okay, I need to be more discerning about that. But there is the need for human touch. People need to know they're loved. And I'll tell you, if there's one who can show us how much He loves us, it's God Himself. More than any other human could ever love, God loves you and me. And He showed us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we had all of our ducks lined up in a row, not when we had everything just laid out perfectly. No, He says, while you were sinners, enemies of the cross, Christ died for you and for me. Wow, that's love. That's love. He longs for communication. And yet oftentimes the only time we want to communicate with Him is when we're in trouble, right? God, help me. I've talked to you for a while, but I need help. And yet God's still there. He doesn't say, you haven't talked to me in 6 months. Forget it. God is so awesome that He'll still listen when He loves us and cares for us. Of course, we got those other things that are part of life in its fullest extent. It's called food and water and sugar. I'm just kidding. I've had a lot of that this weekend. Oh, my word. Dave, you got to get away from that so much. Are any of you guilty of the same thing?
No.
Okay, no, not at all. Not at all. One thing that really makes this all life to its fullest extent was shared in Psalm 145, verse 10. And that is that all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Now, there's a lot of people out there who have been made, created by God, who don't praise Him. But I read in Philippians chapter 2 that one day every knee will bow every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many to their salvation, and some to their damnation. But all will say, yep, he was the one. Thank you, God, that you love us the way you do. And I want to be one of all creation that says, I will praise you till my dying breath. You see, if God made it, then it has value. If God made us, then we all have value. Every human being that God has created has value. Jeremiah 1:5, even before we were formed in the womb, he knew us. Life is important at the very beginning, and life is important at the very end. If God made it, it has value. So life is more than just breathing, isn't it? Life is more than heartbeats. Life is more than brainwaves. Life in its fullest is about giving praise and honor and glory to the one who created us, who loves us, and wants us to love him. Liberty. Defined, it's a state of being free from oppression, tyranny, confinement, or slavery. The journey has been long. Progress has been made, but sin will discourage this. You see, Christ came to set us free, and there are people out there in the world that think those of us who gather on Sunday morning that lift up God and talk about Jesus and all that stuff, those people are really confined and constrained, and they're living in slavery. They don't understand. They're living in slavery. We're the ones who've been freed. Listen to these words that come to us from Scripture, Romans 6:18. We have been set free from sin. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 8:32, the truth will set us free. Unfortunately, there are many people in the world today that don't know the truth. They're being told lies. They're listening to the wrong stuff. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And he is the one who will set us free. Psalm 119, verse 32, you have set my heart free. You see, liberty's enemy is self and sin. We talk about one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The enemy of liberty is self and sin. It gets in the way. Hebrews 11:13, we're aliens and strangers here, aren't we? But I hope we realize as a Christian church that our citizenship isn't really here, it's in heaven. We're going to be going on a journey to another land that we know some about because we read about it in God's Word. But we're going to go there. And there's where we're going to experience all this in its absolute perfectness, if that's a word. But here, don't put the stakes down too deep. Don't rely on the stuff too deeply. We rely on things like, well, at some point down the road, I'm retiring, on what's in the retirement account, huh? You know, when you retire. Don't put so much stake in that. It's temporal stuff. Important, yes. I want to eat. I want to sleep. I want to have a place to stay, all that sort of stuff. But let's not be so tied into that stuff that we can't enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the deepest sense. Not in the sense we oftentimes look at it. So we've talked about life. We've talked about liberty. And that Jesus is the one who really has liberated us, and now I want to finish with the pursuit of happiness. I love this text in Ephesians that Paul shares with the believers in Ephesus. It's such a deep, meaningful prayer. I want to share it with you because I think what Paul is actually telling the church in Ephesus, if you want to be happy, if you want to have joy, here's my prayer for you. I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom all his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to the unbeliever, they can't quite grab a hold of it. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now, in case you're wondering whether that can be done or not, Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you want to pursue happiness, you're going to find it in Christ, nowhere else. You can have temporary happiness, but you can't have eternal happiness, eternal joy, eternal hope, unless you pursue Christ. There are many who came over to this country at the very beginning that understood that and wanted to pursue that. And it became the underpinning for so much that we do as a country and many of the documents that we use as the official documents of our country, whether it's the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or whatever it might be, lathered through all of it, is really a pursuit of life in its fullness. Jesus Christ, a relationship with God through him. Freely, not forced, because when it's forced, it's not real. That's why we want to freely worship him. And there are those who do not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are those who worship other gods. They're freely able to do it. I hope over time they realize they don't know the truth. But they're free to do it. In this country, you're free to do it, to pursue him with all your might and all his glory. America was founded in part so that the people could freely move around and worship without hindrance from the government. Thanks to those who fought for that. Thanks to those Marines up there that were singing that song along with us. Thank you for those who have fought that we could have the freedom to do just that. Life in Christ, freedom from sin, to seek truth, liberty, and the pursuit of the one who gives us that joy unspeakable. Thank you, God, and thank you for our country. I am blessed in ways here. I couldn't be blessed if I was, say, in a country like Haiti or some other country that so restricts, like Iran, where Christians have been murdered for decades. We're here and we're blessed, and folks, because we've been blessed, don't ever forget, we need to be a blessing to others. Spread the blessing. Let's pray. God, thank you Thank you for your word, because your word influenced, I believe, what started our country. Thank you for that. And I pray that your word would continue to influence our country. God, rather than listening to culture and listening to the world about what we should or we should not do, that God, we would listen to your voice in your word that tells us what we should do. Help us to live honorably and justly and righteously. Help us to live with love and care and concern. But God, thank you. Just thank you for this day, for the blessings we have. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like you to join with me this morning. We normally have communion on the first Sunday of the month, and we welcome you, if you're visiting with us this morning, to join with us in communion. We serve communion by intinction. As you take a piece of bread and place it in the cup, then you place the piece of bread in your mouth. We have a gluten-free option as well that I will